Great. That was fantastic worship. Really enjoyed that. Good to have you guys with us now. So let's pray, because it's time to look at the Word. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you the way you've spoken to us already this morning, Father, through the worship. Thank you for the witness and the testimony already spoken out this morning of your goodness toward us, Father. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you that you are doing for us. Thank you for all the blessings you've provided for us and the blessings that are to come. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you right now, especially for your word. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. Speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that these seeds grow. Understanding so that we allow this seed to produce the fruit that it was designed to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. I'm taking a wee detour this morning. Wait for Pauline to come back. Excellent. Taking a wee detour this morning. I'm not carrying on with my current series this week. And then Nunzi's preaching next week. And I may start the Christmas messages early. But we'll see. But we'll get back on to Praying in Tongues series later, sometime. But I want to preach on something different. Basically because this week I've just not been focusing on the teaching series. I've just not been able to. It's been a bit of a tough week, and I've been processing through some things and starting some processes and chatting things through with some folks. So I've actually been focusing on what I needed to focus on. So I've not been focusing on the teaching series. And what I needed this last week was encouragement. So I've been looking, yeah, we could all do with a bit of that, Paulina. Extra encouragement. So I've been needing a bit of encouragement this week. And so I've been looking at scriptures that have been encouraging me, or that do encourage me. And I may well teach on what I've been receiving in the last week or so, but it's just a bit too raw at the moment, so I might teach on it next year. But so when it came to Friday night, and I'd come home, and I was sitting at my desk, and I was going to start working on the sermon, and it's like I had nothing. I felt like I had nothing for this morning. Stephen nodding his head. I felt like I had nothing for this morning. So I thought, well, what have I been teaching on? Like, so I started praying in tongues. Oh, I'll put this into practice. You know, better now than never. And I'm seeking the Lord on what to preach, what to teach. And he said, what have I been doing for you this week? And I thought, well, you've been encouraging me. And he said, well, just go with that then. Just go and encourage the people. Just go and encourage them. Tell them I love them. Tell them what I have for them. Tell them they're special. Tell them what I've done for them. So I opened my Bible and it just fell open at Psalm 139. Which a lot of you guys know is it's one of my favourite psalms. I go to it a lot when I need to be encouraged. And I direct people to it when I want them to be encouraged. So I thought, yeah, okay, I'll preach on Psalm 139 again, even though I've done it multiple times. And I have to tell you, I just felt this peace. Just felt this peace overwhelm me when I thought, yeah, that's what I'm going to just preach on this weekend, Psalm 139. But first, the Lord directed me to 1 Samuel. So 1 Samuel 30. And I want to read verse 6. But up until then, verse 1 to 5, we see David and the army coming back. And they've been raided and they've lost everything. And the guys are starting to turn on David. And verse 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed. Any of you ever been in distress?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh has.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've all been distressed at times. Now, what was David's reason? Well, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. That's okay, Pauline? I was just waiting for the trumpets to start after that. And I thought, hallelujah, I don't have to preach after all. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I love that. Use that all the time. David and his men had come back. All the families were taken. It was horrendous. You look at verse 4. Everybody was weeping. David wept till he couldn't weep anymore. Greatly distressed. He was in danger. What did he do? Did he leg it? No. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And guys, you can do that. We can all do that. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. One way we saw last week, Jude 20, we can pray in tongues. Another way is to get into the words. I tell you about that all the time. But a super way to encourage yourself is to read, and listen to this, personalize Psalm 139. That's a key. Personalize Psalm 139. So I'm going to read the whole of it. I'm only going to preach on a couple of verses. But I want to read the whole of it. And listen, okay, this is written about David. David wrote it about what the Lord was thinking about him. But you could have written this. This could be written by you for you. So personalize it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and had laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Remember this, this could have been written by you. You could have written this. Remember that. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my memories were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. You need to read that and know that's about you. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Awesome. Absolutely awesome psalm. But there's always two verses that jump out at me. And the first one is the first part of verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now this, we're going to think about this, and I want you to meditate on this later. But let's just think about this verse. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm halfway through reading this book at the moment about the brain. And it's about the development of scientific knowledge and scientific understanding about what makes up the brain and how the brain works and how it functions. And, you know, you've heard me talking about the eyes and the liver and things like that, how they couldn't have evolved. But the brain, the brain just could not have evolved. And, you know, contrary to the way that some of us act, every one of us has a brain. You know, sometimes it feels like we operate out with it. But every single one of us has a brain. And the way it connects to our body, every part of our body, and the way it monitors and controls every function is just amazing. And then the way consciousness arises out from that. You know, I've done some research into this, and there is no really reasonable and decent scientific explanation for consciousness. Some people have tried it, but it just doesn't add up. You know how this brain that's made up of atoms, molecules, compounds, cells, simple organic matter, we can have thoughts and self-awareness and consciousness. It just doesn't add up in science. Scientists will never be able to explain it. You know, tell you why they'll never be able to explain it. Because they always take God out of the equation. Because it was created. Look at Genesis 2:7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground from inorganic material. Atoms, compounds, molecules, dirt, cell. You know, just that's what he used to create man. And then he did something different. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God created man from the dirt, from inorganic material. But then he gave him something else. He breathed life into him. And because of that, we have thought, we have self-awareness, we have consciousness. And that's you. Every single one of you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Get that. You have been made. Now, when you make something, you do it deliberately, don't you? You have to get stuff together. You have to go about and you have to have deliberate thoughts to make something. It doesn't just happen, does it? You don't just wake up in the morning, Pauline, and the sculptor's there. No? No? You made it. And that's the way we are. We've been made, every single one of us, and we need to believe this. Now, I am so glad that there's a wall in front of me this morning. Because, you know, we all know, understand physics, because when I speak out my words, they're sound waves, they hit the wall, they come back, and they go into these lugs. I'm so glad there's a wall there, because I need to hear this. So I'm preaching to me this morning. I'm preaching to you. I'm looking at you. I can see myself there. So I need to hear that. Bouncing back and I'm hearing it. I need to hear this. I need to believe it. But we all need to hear this. We all need to believe this truth. Because if we do, we will be so encouraged that we're not accidents. We're not just a bag of cells or a bag of inorganic material. I mean, looking at you, most of you, you're just water. Anyway, if we think about it. What is it, like 70% of us is water?
Yeah.
Yep. Nothing special about that really, is there? But if we believe that we have been created and then understand who this creator is, and his nature, that should encourage us. Change the way we live, change the way we think about ourselves. I was down in Perth last couple of days with a pastor friend, and he's really challenging. And at one point, we're in the, I don't know what people thought going past in the cars, we're in the middle of the high street in Perth, and he's nose to nose with me. you know, in this loud Glaswegian accent. And it sounds quite aggressive sometimes. But nose-to-nose challenge. Who do you say you are, Vic? You know, who do you say you are, Vic? It's important how we answer that question. Who do you say you are, Stuart? Who do you say you are? What do you think of yourself? What do you say about yourself? Really important. If we answer that question with the word, and initially think, well, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, actually, that's going to have an impact on our lives and the lives around us. But I need to ask you a question. Can you say that wee phrase? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Believe that? Truly? Really? We need to. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We accept pretty easily, I think, for most of us, that God created the universe, started the universe, created the world. I mean, there's no other explanation. Are any of you watching the nonsense on the BBC at the moment called The Universe? You know, it's great because it's telling you all about the universe, but then it tells you how it started. It's like, okay, fast forward this, Mr. Cox, I don't need to hear this. You know, it's going on about the stars, having trillions and trillions of stars. And they came from nothing. They came from a singularity. Get this, that's infinitely small, but infinitely dense. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Infinitely small, but huge, infinitely dense. Because all the matter that is in here was in this small singularity, and it somehow exploded on its own and everything came out. No, it had to be a creator. And that creator who did that amazing work also created us. You. Every single one of us. He took the time and the effort to create every single one of us. Me. And you need to think that. And we need to meditate on it sometimes. Can we really say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made? But there's a more important extension to that, which I was thinking about this week. Now, we know David wrote this psalm. We know David had to encourage himself in the Lord. And we need to do that. And I think sometimes we get that first half of verse 14. We were created. But I want to challenge you about the second half of that verse and ask, can you do what David then said? Well, look at verse 14 again. So he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, we might get that, okay? Yes, I was created. No evolution, as a creator, I was created. But then David says, marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. David's saying in this verse, I was created. I was part of creation. I was part of your creative work. Yeah? That's what he says. And then he says, marvelous are thy works. So Stephen's just got what he's saying there. What's David saying? What's the subtext of what David's saying? He's not saying it explicitly, but what David is saying is, I was part of your work. Your work is marvelous. Therefore, I am marvelous. I am marvelous. That word marvelous does mean marvelous in the Hebrew, but it also means wonderful, wondrous, and get this, singular. You are unique. You are unique. Wondrous. Marvelous. Wonderful. And David knows that right well. He doesn't just know it well. He knows it right well. Awesome. And that word, right well, means vehemently. Now, I had to look that up in the dictionary, okay? I thought, that sounds a good word. I might know what it means a little bit, but I'm going to look it up. So I looked it up in the dictionary. And that word means in a forceful, passionate, or intense manner with great feeling. David knows and declares he is marvelous. And he is unique as a part of God's creation. And he says that with passion, with intensity, with great feeling. He has this intense feeling that he is marvelous. And he's unique. And remember, this is a man with many feelings, many problems. Yeah, a man who also just happens to know he's in covenant with the living God. But this is a man with failings and problems. And he really, really, really knows he is something special and something unique. He knows he is marvelous, and he knows that right well. Do you know that? There's a challenge to every single one of you. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you know with a passion and an intensity that you are marvelous, you are unique, you are one of a kind, you are needed on this planet because you are so unique and God has a job for you that only you can do it, and you're going to be marvelous at it. You're going to be so great that you get the job before the interview's finished. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Do you know that, Jeff? Do you feel that with intensity? Can you really honestly say to me this morning that there's nothing holding you back from saying with intensity, I am absolutely fantastic. I am marvelous. I am one of a kind. I am the best at who I am. Because I'm the only one of who I am. I am amazing. I am astounding.
I am me.
I am me. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Awesome. I am me. And there is only one me. And that me was created by the Almighty, the living God, the creator of the universe. If we can say that, that's going to make a difference in our lives. That should be an encouragement to you this morning, if you really think that, really believe that. If not, we're going to work on it. Why do I not think like that? What mindset is holding me back? What chains are holding me back from saying and believing that I am brilliant, I am awesome, I am amazing, I'm fantastic? Now, some folk could clip this and think, Vic's gone off on one. Who does he think he is? I know who I am. I'm fantastic. I'm amazing. I'm unique. I'm one of a kind. But you know why? We can only say this, of course, because we are his creation. That's why we can say that. Because it's not really us that's amazing. It's him. He's made us amazing. Made us unique. We are not creations of ourselves. It's not about us congratulating ourselves. This mindset that I've kind of been thinking about over the last 4 or 5 days about how we're creations and we're marvelous and we're amazing and we need to think of what we can do and what we have and who we are. That's not pride. Well, I don't see it. Somebody could snip little bits off this video and it could come across as prideful. But it's not pride. I see it as honouring, worshipping, and giving glory to him. Because we're only who we are because he is our creator. And that's something we can have pride in and boast about. I am marvellous because. I am absolutely astounding. Because I am unique and singular and fantastic because I'm his creation. He is the creator. It is his works that are marvelous. That's what David says. Marvelous are thy works. Now, yes, he's recognizing it, and the subtext, I believe, what he is saying is, I'm marvelous. And that's what we need to say about ourselves. But it is his works that are marvellous. We are his creations, so we are marvellous. We're not praising ourselves by thinking these thoughts. We're not giving ourselves a pat on the back. It's not a pride thing. We are the pinnacle of his creation. What did he say in the first 5 days when he's finished? This is good. What did he say after the end of the day when he created us? Very good. Who's very good? Me. Me and you. Every single one of us. We are very good. Do you believe you're very good? Or just a little bit good? How good do you think you are? How marvellous do you think you are? Here's someone else to encourage you, hopefully. God that created you so marvellous is still very interested in you. Interested in every single one of us. Interested in all that we do. He knows everything about you. You're down sitting and you're uprising, it says in verse 2. I've done a little bit of study into that. I haven't really focused on this verse before. You know, God's not interested when you sit down and when you stand up. Those words are talking about when you're in a good place and when you're in a not so good place. When you're in a good mood, when you're in a bad mood. When things are going well, when things are going bad. When you're on an upper or a downer. God knows what you're thinking. God knows how you're thinking. The manner of your thinking. He is so interested in our state of mind. It's like, why is that the first thing there? Just come to me. Why is that the first thing that we hear about in Psalm 139? Because it's the state of our mind that drives everything else. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's mindset that chains us up. Or freeze us. It's mindsets that puts us on an upper or a downer. It's the way we think about ourselves, what we say about ourselves. And God is so interested in that. He's interested in everything. He's interested in our state of mind. He knows about this. He's interested. He knows all that we need. Verse 3, he's acquainted with all our ways. He knows what we say. He knows what we're going to say. He is interested in you, the way you think, what you say, what you do. And you may think, well, why? Because he made you. He made you. And he's interested in you. Now, Lydia comes home from school. I sometimes have to gauge like this, but I can gauge quite often now when I can say, oh, what was school like? What did you do in school today? Where did you go for your dinner? Why did I do that? Because I love her and I'm interested in her. Nancy will come home from work. Fantastic husband that I am. Tea's being cooked. Cup of tea already waiting for her. Yeah, I'm not a troll or anything, but I track her on the app. And once she gets to Bergie, I put the kettle on. You know. But then she'll come in. And it's, how was your day? What did you do? Did you play nicely with the other ladies? You know. Why do I do that? Because I'm interested. I love her. I want to know what she's up to. I'm interested in everything about her. And God's exactly the same with us. So interested in everything about us. He just doesn't have to come aside and ask us what we're doing. Because he's omnipresent and he's omnipotent and all that. And I'm not, strangely enough. So God's always with us, so he knows. He's behind us, he's before us, he's around us, it's wherever we go. That's what verse 5 to 10 says. It's awesome. Now, I've no time to go through the whole psalm, but here's the other verse that always jumps out at me. Always is encouraging me when I need to be lifted up. How do I know God is interested in me? How do I know how much God is interested in me? Well, go to Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. That's grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Oh man, that needs hours and hours of meditation for us to really get that into our heads. He created us. He's interested in us. And right now, but also from the start of eternity to the end of eternity, which never started, never ends, He's thinking about you. Thinking about you. That just blows my mind. That the God of creation, who's got a universe to run, you know, with trillions and trillions. I don't understand gravity and how everything doesn't just fall down. But it's like, I know the universe doesn't have a top and a bottom. You know, I can't understand how stars can just sit out there in nothingness. I don't understand that. But somebody must do, and somebody must hold it with the word of his power. So he's busy. You know, he's obviously a busy man. But he's still got time to think about me. Constantly. And of course he's got an infinite mind, so he can think about you instantly, or constantly as well. This just tells me he's thinking about us all the time, a lot. And David said that he was thinking about him. The thoughts that he thought about David were the grains of sand. Now that's a lot. Who remembers when I calculated this one time before? Remember I calculated how many grains of sand were in a kilo of sand, and then I multiplied it up to Rosyle, and I multiplied it up to the Sahara Desert and all that. Well, I didn't fancy doing that last night, and I couldn't find my notes. So I just went on the College of Astronomy and Astrophysics and asked the question, how many grains of sand are in the Earth? Right? Anybody good with numbers? You get, well, you know, I'm not sure. I think it's a million, then a billion, then a trillion. Anyway,
there's a lot.
You're going to like this, Josh. The estimate from the College of Astronomy and Astrophysics is that there are 7,500,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, That's a lot. Now that is, get this, 7.5 times 10 to the power of 1,018. Now a billion is a lot, isn't it? That's 1 times 10 to the power 9. So the grains of sand in the earth is 7.5 times 10 to the power 1,018. That's 7.5 with 1,018 zeros behind it. Let me summarise that. God thinks about you a lot. Yes, Nikki has just put, that's a lot. It is indeed. That's an excellent summary, Nikki. That's a lot. Huge. It's so big that you can't think about that kind of number. I mean, I would actually be quite pleased if God thought about me a million times. That would be quite good, wouldn't it? Or a billion times. But no, 7 quintillion 500 quadrillion times. It's just an estimate. But it's a lot, isn't it? That's like, there's quite often understatements in the Bible. And that is an understatement. How great is the sum of them? How great is the sum of them? That to me just says he's thinking about me all the time. All the time. Now, I was going to start working out, well, if God had a thought about me every second, how long would, you know, 7 quintillion 500 quadrillion seconds be? But nah, I just couldn't be bothered going there, I'm sorry. Let's just say infinity. It would be a lot, Josh. It would be millennia and eras and eons and whatever. But God thinks about you a lot. But that means nothing if you don't believe that. That means nothing if we can't see how important we are. That he thinks about us all the time. No, that's not me saying that. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, well, it's for David the super duper. He obviously thinks a lot about David. And yeah, maybe he thinks a lot about Paul. And yeah, maybe, well, Priscilla and Aquila. Yeah, they're quite special. He thinks about them a lot. And Matthew, Mark, Luke. Well, we think about all the disciples a lot. But he's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for the rest. I think this, you could have written Psalm 139. And that's what we need to get in our heads. We could have written Psalm 139. And everything we look in there is for us. And that must encourage us if we can believe it. He made me. I am unique. There is a purpose and a plan for me on this planet that only I can fulfill. Same's true for all you guys. Because he's no respecter of persons. That's what he wrote for Isaiah and Jeremiah. I'm the same as them. You're the same as them. You know, so they're just creation. Creations like the rest of us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's interested in you? Do you believe he thinks about you? Do you believe he wants to know everything about you? He does know everything about you. What you think, what you say, what you do, how, what your work is, how you're feeling, what your mindset is, whether you're happy or sad or content. He's interested in all that. Everything. You are very, very special people. Do you know that? Do you believe it? That mind, that intellect, that power that we call God the Father, that we know as God the Father, the Creator God, knew you and knows you. And he put you in a unique and a special place. I was going to say in this world, but it's in this universe. You are the only you in this universe. And you are unique. You are special. There's no one else like you. There's no one else that can do what you can do. There's no one else been given the same anointing and appointing that God has given you. You are a one-off. You are so special. And we need to believe that. Now I say we. I want to say you. But I know I need to say we. We need to know that. I'm just going to turn around a little bit so I can hear it bouncing off that wall. We need to know that. We need to hear that. Psalm 139 is a great place to go. Meditate on it. Ponder it. What's the verse that Michelle keeps going on about somewhere where you ingest it, eat it? It's like food. This is a psalm for you to personalise and encourage yourself with. But it's really all about him. What has he done for you? What has he done to you? What is he doing with you? What does he know about you? What is he thinking, you know, about you? What's he interested in? He wants the best for you. Why? Because you're special to him. See, you are the pinnacle of creation. And I don't know about you, but that is amazing. Have you looked at a tree recently? Have you seen how amazing a tree is? That's good. You're very good. See, who saw the Northern Lights recently? There have been quite a lot of them in the last couple of weeks. The Northern Lights. He's created that. Lights in the sky and all that kind of thing. That's good. That's nothing compared to you. Because you're very good. I love that. We're the pinnacle of his creation. And he thinks we are very good. So the challenge and the question I leave every single one of us with, what do we really think about ourselves? Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome.